The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Here's something we never talked about before. Poetry. I haven't read or written poetry since I was a little kid in grade school and literally forced to read and write poetry. Having said that, I'm a grown-up now and maybe I should give poetry another chance. My guest today is James Cruz, the author of The Path to Kindness, which is a collection of poems from a very wide variety of different poets. And a lot of them deal with human connection, and we can definitely get down with that on this podcast. I love human connection. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 70 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, author of the new book, The Path to Kindness, James Cruz. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're a poet. And I don't feel like there are enough poets in the world. I think we could use more poets right now. Kind of a lost art almost, it feels like, at least to me. Am I accurate there?
Yeah, I think most people feel the same way as you do, that not a lot of people are practicing poetry, or probably even if your listeners are hearing the word poetry now, they're thinking like, no, I don't like poetry. That's not for me. No. But I think I'm sort of here to change that. And that's why I'm putting out these books like I'm doing, of poems that are really relatable, accessible. They're about everyday life and everyday experience. And you're right, it has been a lost art to some degree, but I think it's actually starting to come back. You know, people are becoming more and more interested in poetry. We all had some free time during the pandemic, so that helped a little bit get people more into poetry, slowing down, pausing, what poetry usually does. And I think we just have to let go of this idea that poetry is about all these rules and like, what is a simile? What is a metaphor? Just let all that go. And it's really just about the beauty and the music of a language and how you put words together.
Now, your book, The Path to Kindness, is this your second book? Is that right?
It's the
second in the series, right?
That's right.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, it's the second in the series. The last one was How to Love the World. And this new one really just focuses on kindness, ways that we can connect with each other, maybe access some joy as we come out of this pandemic time. And really, it's about connecting with ourselves, too. And so how we can do some self-care, self-compassion, really take some time to dig a little bit deeper, you know, because it doesn't take much. You know, you might read a few poems and just look at the world a little differently, because poetry really asks us to slow down and just become a little more grounded in everyday experience.
The way you describe it is almost like I've had guests describe meditation to me is slowing down, pausing, connection, connecting with self, especially. I know connection was a big one for you in this particular book. What do you think the most important part about connecting with yourself is? We'll start with yourself and then with others too. So
yeah,
you know, why is that needed in the world today so much?
Yeah, well, you say, you know, we're starting with the self. And I think that's absolutely where you have to begin in order to connect with anybody else. You first got to kind of know yourself, you know, and be present to yourself, what's going on with you, what you're feeling. And I think it's important now because we have so many distractions, and a lot of people blame devices, and that's maybe part of it. But we just have so much information coming at us. We have so many choices and opportunities to kind of do this or that. And so I think that connection is really essential to help us feel empathy for one another again, to recognize each other's humanity. Like, we don't have to agree on every little thing. Like, people used to be able to disagree about political stuff or different life choices, and it didn't become this divisive force because they knew, like, well, you know, we're neighbors. There's still plenty of room for common ground. And I think that's still true. We've just kind of lost sight of that. We've forgotten that. So when we pause and slow down, get in touch with ourselves, then that creates the space And we can be a little more awake and aware to the moments of connection when they happen in real life.
What do you think the reasons are that we have become kind of less connected throughout time?
Yeah, lots of different reasons. I think that just personally, I believe that different political groups, perhaps companies, marketing efforts, they discovered that it's really easy to kind of chop people up into different groups and like, oh, I'm going to appeal to this group and like make it easy to blame another group. And, you know, it's easier to control people if they're in a state of agitation, anxiety, fear, blame. And so I think that's part of it, that we've stopped seeing each other as humans. I do think social media has some effect. You know, I love social media. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. And it does have this effect of maybe distancing us from each other too, because we would probably say things online that we wouldn't say to someone's face, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that practice of going out into the world and just being aware of like, you know, a smile or a wave, a few kind words from the cashier at the grocery store, you know, a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah. I know you have prompts to journaling and the benefits of that. And I definitely want to get into journaling because I think this one is really interesting to me, because I remember 20 years ago when I was, you know, a 20-year-old kid, a joke with one of my friends was, Dola journals. And I wasn't journaling at the time. And now I actually do journal, something I'm proud of and something great I benefit from and really enjoy. I know you guys have prompts for it in the book and you can definitely talk about that. But also talk to me about journaling, period, and why that's important as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad to hear you journal. I mean, that is an amazing practice for me. It has literally changed my life. And I get ideas for different projects while I'm journaling. Something will come up in my journaling practice every morning, maybe like five mornings in a row. Like, I really need to reach out to so-and-so. I really should reach out. And it's just like listening to yourself a little more deeply. I agree with you. Like, As a recovering cynic, I used to joke about journaling too. Like, okay, I'm going to go journal about my feelings now. But as it turns out, when you get older, you realize these things, like it is a powerful practice. And so I wanted to create ways for people to be invited to do that with this book. Like, you know, I want people to use this book in whatever ways are best for them. I think one good way of doing that could be reading a poem and then just journaling about whatever that poem brings up for you. Because we get this idea, like, I think from high school and college, like poetry is about picking things apart and trying to figure out what the writer meant. And for me, what's most interesting is like, I'll read a poem. I may not understand or connect to every part of it, but usually it brings up something for me. And I love using poetry as a jumping off point for journaling, like a memory or even just something that happened yesterday. It just kind of like sparks something.
Is there something about pen to paper too, that when you write, you're a poet, when you write poems, do you write them pen to paper or do you type? And you also do books,
yeah.
But I hear a lot of people just find power in pen to paper.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Absolutely. I am very old school. I still use an old, you know, just like a plain notebook, gel pens, whatever writes quickly. Because writing for me is a physical act, you know, and I love making books because they are also physical things, even though people could buy an ebook, that's fine. But I find that most people do actually want to hold the books in their hands too. So there's just something about the physical act of reading and the physical act of writing that's really important to me. Eventually, you got to type something up if you want to share it, but I love the writing part of it. Like, I will write something over and over again until it feels right, and then I'll type it up. You know, I wait a little while before I go to the computer.
Yeah, and the book is very small. It fits in your hand. Is there a reason for those sizings that you do with your books?
Yeah, you know, it's actually the publisher's idea was to make this really small. Initially, I thought like, well, I don't want poetry to seem really small or slight. You know, I was like objecting to it. And then I've heard from all these people who say like you, fits in the palm of your hand. It's something you can carry with you wherever you go, slip it in a bag, keep it on the bedstand or the coffee table. And so it's really portable. And I think that's why I've come to really love this form. So it's really perfect.
For if you're listening, this is not just you. You weren't the only writer of the poems here. You picked a wide variety of people of all from all different backgrounds. So let's talk a little bit about that, about how diverse the poets in this book are.
Yeah, and that was really important to me. So thank you so much for pointing that out. You know, I think I love putting out my own books and, you know, books of my own poems, but it's way more fun to uplift the work of other people. So we have really well-known poets in here, like Naomi Shihab Nye, William Stafford might be a name that people recognize. We have our current poet laureate of the country, Joy Harjo, who's the first Native American to serve in that role. Lots of Black poets, lots of Indigenous, other Native American poets. So it was really important for me to have basically poets from all over the country. I think we have poets from almost every state represented in the book, and even some Canadians and some New Zealand poets, so around the world. And it's just like this community of poets who are offering their work in the service of this larger theme of kindness.
Now, the name of the book is a Path to Kindness, and paths can take us places. So is this kind of a, did you put these in order to take the reader somewhere from start to beginning?
Well, I always pay close attention to the order of my books, you know, whether I'm writing them myself or just editing like with this one. So I did begin with this poem, Small Kindnesses, that kind of opens you up to the possibility of these little kindnesses you might encounter in your day. And then I did want to take people slowly through these different phases of kindness. So like, you know, being kind to yourself, stepping out to the natural world, engaging in self-care, self-compassion, doing that, reaching out to family members, connecting with them or their memory. You know, there are a lot of poems that are also about the grieving process, about being kind and showing up for others who might be in grief. And then by the time you reach the end, my hope is that you feel hope about the future of the world. And so the last poem in the book talks about looking toward the future and feeling the possibility of wonder and awe at this still amazing, definitely broken and difficult, but still very amazing world.
I think what's interesting about your book and using so many different authors is that I always ask an author when I have them on, like, hey, what was the favorite part of your book? But with you, I think it's more of, I think you could ask more of the question of which one triggered something in your mind that maybe helped you make a little change or see something a little bit differently in your world. So out of all the poems in this book, and there are a lot of them, what kind of did that for you? And you can for sure name more than one and give us a sample if you like.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, one of the poems that really affected me is this poem called Mercy by Rudy Francisco, who is a younger Black poet. He does a lot of spoken word. He's been on, I think, Jimmy Fallon. So, you know, he's out in the world quite a bit. But it's just this little poem. It's like 67 words, you know, so really short. But he talks about finding a spider and his girlfriend kind of wanting him to kill the spider. And he refuses to. He says, you know, I'm not going to do that. And then later on in the poem, he says, you know, if I'm out in the world, just kind of walking, minding my own business, I hope someone will feel the same sense of mercy toward me, you know. And so it's just this little thing, like letting a spider live. And then he opens it up to this larger experience of being out in the world and hoping that whoever encounters him is going to feel a similar sense of mercy. So it's almost like, you know, practicing what you preach, or even the golden rule, you know, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you.
I love that. With all that's going on in the world today, what part do you think poetry could play, or getting back to poetry? Because like we started with that, it's kind of a lost art. So, I mean, how do we bring people back in to poetry?
Well, I think, you know, just showing them in books like this, and there are lots of other books out there right now, and people sharing their poetry on social media, just helping people to see that poetry can be about their everyday experience, and that can be a chance to take a break from the news, you know, really settle yourself, ground yourself in the moment again and just kind of take a breath, because I think we are constantly bombarded with this negativity and all the difficulty of the world. And poetry can be a little break, whether you read it or write it. It can just be this thing that you do that maybe illuminates some part of your world. And if it makes you show up a little sharper, a little more aware, a little kinder to somebody else, I think those ripples can just go very far in our world.
My last question before I let you out of here. If you're someone that maybe wanted to try to write poetry just for yourself, I think a lot of us think of poetry as what we learned in grade school, which is it has to rhyme. It could be a haiku. It has to follow this format. But from what I've gotten from you, it absolutely does not. And you can kind of just write what you want and how you feel. And
That's it. I mean, it's that simple and complicated at the same time, because it's not easy, right? To let go of all the rules and to just write what you feel. It takes some practice to do that. And that's why it's good to read other poetry that you really love and see how other people have done it. But it is as simple as that, you know, just letting go of those rules. A poem can be as enjoyable and uplifting as you want it to be. It can be about the dark and the difficult and sorrowful. And, you know, your ideas of poetry may be different than what's in this book. It's, you know, these are not just poems by dead white guys. That's for sure.
The book is The Path to Kindness. James Cruz, thank you so much for doing this. Good luck in the future. And be glad to have you on anytime.
I'd love to come back. Thanks so much for having me.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere in Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere in Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other. Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest James Cruz. Follow him on the gram at james.cruz.poet. While you got the app open, follow me as well at DoleWhite101, DoleWhite101. Want to say thank you for checking out the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe and follow no matter what platform you're listening on. Subscribe and follow all of them. That'll definitely help me out. If the platform that you're listening on lets you rate and review, please do that. If you got something nice to say, 5 stars and a nice word, I definitely appreciate that. Taking next week off due to Easter, even though I'm not really Christian and I don't really celebrate, I just feel like taking a week off. So I'm doing that next week for Easter. But back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. Check me out then. I'm out.